It is October 10th, 2005. We're at the Lansing Car Assembly. I am Doreen Howard, and we will be interviewing James Howlett. James, can you state your name and spell your last name, please, and your address for the record?
My name is James Allen Howlett, H-O-W-L-E-T-T.
And your address?
Address 1020 Boyton Drive, Lansing, Michigan, 48917.
Okay. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Cheryl McQuaid.
And I'm Jerry Smith.
Okay. Let's see here. What's your seniority date?
February 24th, 1970.
And what department do you work in?
Environmental Services.
Have you always worked in environmental services?
I've worked 31 years in environmental services, and I've originally hired in to the body shop.
Can you tell me a little bit about that first day when you hired in?
The first day I was petrified. I hired in to the body shop, and the body shop was noisy. He had all these mini welding guns to work with. It was a pretty scary experience. Very loud.
Do you remember your supervisor or anyone that you
worked
with?
My first supervisor I worked for was Walt Beach. I remember him. Yeah, he was quite a supervisor. Very loud and flamboyant.
Okay. So, body shop.
Yes.
And what exact job were you assigned to at that time?
I did spot welding. I weld the back seat panels, and I did some welding along the front of the windshield wiper brackets. And I had to release clamps off the body trucks before the job got lifted off.
For someone who doesn't know what spot welding is, can you kind of describe what it is and what you worked with and the materials and things that surrounded you?
Basically, you work with a hammer and 3 or 4 spot welding guns. It's basically the body is being put together, and you had to weld all these integrated pieces together as the line went down the line.
Okay. And was that is that a large department? Was there quite a few people that worked in that department?
Yeah, it was quite a few people. I'd say it's at least about 30.
Okay, that's quite true.
How long did you do that job?
I did that job for about a good year. Then I left the body shop and went on to, I did rework in the salvage department, where they bought stock that was wrong or cut wrong. We had to rework it, or it wasn't punched in right, certain things that were imperfected from the supplier. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of rework stock.
And how long did you work in
I did
rework?
That for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then I got cut off in 1974 doing the oil embargo. I got laid off for about 5 months, and then I leveled off, and then I went into sanitation, environmental services in 1974.
So
I've been there ever since.
How long did you actually physically get laid off out of the plant for any length of time during that? Or did you just switch from one department to another?
I got laid off for a couple months, and then I ended up eventually leveling off and going to another department, okay. Environmental Services.
Okay. So you came back and at that time started out Environmental Services.
In 1974.
Okay. And tell me, what is Environmental Services and what type of jobs do you perform in that arena?
Well, when I got into Environmental Services, it consists of housekeeping or janitorial work, which we, clean bathrooms, and you did a lot of stacking, hauling cardboard and stacking cardboard on and getting and loading pallets up. We had a lot of pallets at that time. And sweeping certain areas. My area then originally was in the body shop, so I did a lot of that. I did clean the torch solder because I was in a soldering area, so we had to clean and lift up torch solder that was done on the job that they solder and it fell on the floor, so I had to take care of that. So
was there a particular department that you did the sanitation for, or did you work throughout the plant in different areas?
Eventually I did. Then I went on to utility. So then I spread it out and did a myriad jobs then. Mm-hmm. So I was on utility for quite a few years, about 10, 12 years on utility.
You started out in body shop and then you went into utility.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how you felt about the transition of going from the production department in arena to the sanitation arena, the pros and cons and the differences between the groups.
Well, the difference is you don't have to work as steady as you did when you're on production. Sanitation was pretty much, you had a lot of time as opposed to standing in line all day and doing the job all day. It was mainly task-oriented, so it was not like a repetitive job like you do working on a line. You perform your certain tasks, cleaning bathrooms and lifting pallets, consistent sweeping, and you pretty much had a flexible schedule in terms of free time.
So not as hard on your body physically?
Right.
Then?
Strenuously, it was not as hard on you. Less demanding.
You said that you were laid off before, mm-hmm. and for just a couple months. Do you have any idea what the layoff was for?
Reduction in force. I got laid off back in 74 and 75 due to reduction in force because of the oil embargo.
Oh, the oil embargo.
And I did remember I previously got laid off again back in 81, 82. There was a recession. Mm-hmm. I was forced out of the group for about 6 months. I ended up going to the cushion room.
Oh.
I worked there for about 5 or 6 months. And eventually, back in 84, I came back into sanitation. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't very much out of sanitation environmental service for very long.
Kind of on the same top line, not necessarily layoffs, but were you ever involved in any strikes? Was there any strikes that happened during your time here?
When I hired in February of 1970, that was the year of a new contract that was going on in September of 1970, and we went off on the strike because of that, and the strike was mainly over pensions. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was a pension issue, and we went out on strike, and we were out on strike for 67 days. I can remember that experience. It was a long ordeal. I had not been here by 6-7 months, and we went on strike, and that was for the pension, and of course, we stayed on strike to 67 days until the strike was settled.
That was quite a long strike.
Yes, it was quite an experience, humbling experience.
Yes, going back to the sanitation department, and could you tell me a little bit about the department as far as, was there any initiation into that group, or even when you came in your very first day when you went to body shop, was there an initiation into the production group as far as pranks or any type of things that they did to the new hire people that came into their groups at that time?
Well, I guess the biggest prank is they throw you out there in the area and you had to figure out what area that you had to do, because the area was split up by boundaries, but a lot of times they didn't tell you those boundaries. So you had to kind of learn from your comrades that were in that particular area how far your area extended. So they kind of throw you to the wolves, so to speak.
Here's your job, go find it.
Here's your job, you take it out, you figure it out. So a lot of it was touch and go, but you learn after you develop a camaraderie with your fellow workers about where your particular job ended and started.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about camaraderie. Is there any personnel here that you got to be good friends with while you've been here?
I got friends with a number of people here, particularly your coworkers that you work with over the years, and your supervisors. There were some supervisors that kind of had a positive effect on me that were really, I thought, was great supervisors, both professionally and on a human standpoint.
Tell me a little bit about him.
I can think of one particular when I worked in the body shop. His name was Ray Perez. I originally worked in his department. I moved from one department over to his department. He worked in side frames, and He was a very fair foreman. He got along with his employees good. If you did his job, he didn't mess with you. He, you know, had a lot of dinners in his department, and he just treated his people well. You know, you did your job, he didn't bother you. And he was one of my favorites. And then I had another supervisor, L. Kelly. He was one of the first black supervisors in environmental services, and he was fair. You know, you did your job. You know, he didn't mess with you. And, you know, he, and if ever you need help in your job, he was there to help you. And just fellow workers along the way, you know, you meet a lot of people, the names I can't even describe that cross your path over the 35 years that I've been here. It's been a lot of good employees.
I'd like you to describe if any, is there any comparisons from when you first hired in to the present that where any situations where your race may have come into play at any time while you were working here? Has that ever been an issue in any of the jobs that you've been in?
No, I really can't say it's ever been an issue for me. I never had any problems with where I worked all those years as far as race. I think the only biggest question that came in the race is when back in the, I think it, 1976 was the big issue of race came in. That was the year that, before that time, male employees would clean male bathrooms, female employees would clean female bathrooms. Well, they changed that then under the Equal Rights Amendment. Now they made jobs that were both men and women could do them equally. And I can recall when I first started cleaning women's bathroom, women were very upset, very mad. They didn't like it. I did a man coming in cleaning women's toilet. And that caused quite a ruckus for quite a long time. Women would complain. They went to the union hall. They were complaining, hey, why we got a man? How come a woman couldn't do that? But then again, women had to clean men's bathrooms. So it was kind of a problem as far as gender discrimination, because they were intimidated. You know, women, men never had clean women's bathrooms, so the women were frightened and kind of intimidated. So it took a long time for them to adjust.
Changes are not necessarily the easiest for people to accept.
No, it's not.
As far as our facility, you've worked here for so many years. How do you feel about the plant closing? And you know, there's hardly anyone here now, and you're still cleaning and trying to make the surroundings nice for the people that are left behind here still.
Well, it's a bittersweet experience. I mean, the friendships that you formed here, this plant produces the most cars in known the capital city of the world. We produce more cars than anybody. And to see it shut down now, it's kind of a sad experience for me to see this plant not building any more cars. You know, particularly when it, in fact, is one of the most antiquated plants in the whole GM system, yet we produce the most cars. So it's kind of a sad experience, and to see it being shut and cars never being built again here.
If you were to offer any words of wisdom to a new employee that's going to be coming in and possibly working at the Delta plant, what would you offer for words of wisdom?
Well, I would say that you have to learn to change. With the times are different. We're living in a global competitive world now. And you have to have the ability to want to adapt and change. You have to be flexible. Because our business is slowly evolving every day. Every day is changing. So you got to have the ability to really change and be able to have the ability to work in teams. That's the most important thing, to get away from the petty differences and personalities and realize that our major goal is to produce a car and produce it at the best quality. And I guess that's the biggest thing, to be able to adapt to change.
Over your time that you've been here, is there been anything that has just stuck with you in your mind that has been so funny that, or just unusual, that it stands out? Something that you want to tell us?
I guess the most funniest, humorous thing is when I worked here the first week that I worked here, and I received my check, and I hired in at $3.51 an hour, and I made a $150 check. When I first got that check, I was scared. I thought the boss had made a mistake, that I got $150 for a paycheck for a whole week. It was funny because I never believed that I could make that kind of money. I didn't make that kind of money when I first come in. And I asked the boss, is something wrong with this check, right? He says, sure it's right. I said, God, that seemed like too much money. He says, well, if you want to give some of it back, I'll take it. But he says, that's your check.
Jimmy, you were here when the plant was known as Fisher Body. It was Fisher Body. Right. And you've seen it change to BOC and mm-hmm. then to LCA. What are your thoughts on that? What did you think when all that was happening?
Well, I thought about like a lot of people, you know, when it changed and it, the identity of the Fisher name is synonymous with the whole industry at that time. I mean, Fisher was just, every car had an emblem body by Fisher on it. And to see it change, it was just unbelievable. I just thought it lost its identity to lose that Fisher name. But as, you know, and then to lose the building of the 98s and the Vista Cruisers and all the big cars that we made, because we lost all that when they went into the LCA back in, what, 84, I think, approximately around there. So it was kind of a shocking experience when we thought that many of us had been here and said, this place is crazy. To get rid of your bread and butter cars that we built those 98s and those 88s and Vista Cruisers, we made a lot of money. And we thought the company was headed into the wrong direction. Well, needless to say, the company was right, because we made a lot of Grand Ams, we made a lot of Buicks, a lot of Cavaliers. So sometimes change always, sometimes it seems wrong, but at that particular time it worked out for the best for us.
Was there any other members of your family that work here, or any relatives that you have that work here?
I had a sister retired out of Oldsmobile. She had 30 years. She retired in 1997, excuse me. Then I had a brother-in-law that worked up in paint. He retired out of here 3 years ago. He had almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. Then I got a brother that works in material here. I hired in 1978, so. Those are about the only close relatives I have that work within General Motors.
That's quite a few people that work for them. So.
How old were you when you hired in?
I was 20. 20 years old, little young kid.
Did you grow up in this neighborhood? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Oldsmobile, the Olds and Wilm Street area, right where the main plant, the chassis is.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in there until they started buying those houses out. In the late 70s, I think they bought all that property out. So I'm a lifelong resident.
So you have a little bit of background on, did you ever know what people were doing inside the factories when you were younger? Did you ever want to, did you think of that, oh, gee, I want to work there someday, or was, you know, not necessarily?
I never thought about it. I never thought about really working here. You know, a lot of people retired. Of course, I graduated from Lansing Sexton, so a lot of kids that got out of school end up coming over here. But at that particular time, I had aspirations of wanting to be a car mechanic, so I got into that field for a while. And then I found out that this field doesn't really suit me. So I decided, a lot of my friends were going into General Motors. I said, well, I'm gonna go into work in a factory, but I never envisioned myself coming in and working at a factory.
Is there,
how much did the plant change in all the years you've been here? It's like when you first came in compared to what it is now.
Well, when I first came in, you hired in, and then, like when I hired in the body shop, everybody was required to go down and get a hammer and get it peened out and shaped like an anvil. A spike anvil, and you put your coveralls on. They told me, well, hey, you're hired here to work. We don't want to hear your personal problems, the issue. We want to expect you on the job every day. And that was it. That's it. You know, your job was to work, and that was it. And I see now it's greatly changed. I mean, you know, you had to go find your way to the body shop. You didn't know where you were going. You had to search and ask people where to go, or where the hospital was, or where the cafeteria was. You kind of had to learn all that on your own. The file for unemployment, subpay, all that. You know, you pretty much had to learn on your own, or through your comrades. And now I see the change as the years progress. You know, we got the family work-life department that helps people with personal problems and issues. Mm-hmm. Now they go through orientation where people come in and get a chance a week to go to their union and be shown around the parts of the plant, where to find the hospital, and where to find certain places within the plant. They got union awareness. I mean, they've got a myriad of different things that we didn't have. You know, you got physical therapy reimbursement where you can go and do physical fitness and get reimbursed. I mean, there's a lot of things now that they're concerned that they help the worker now that years ago they didn't have those things.
You touched on based on a few of the negotiated benefits that we've accumulated over the years. Is there any particular benefit that you yourself have been able to utilize, and which one do you feel is one of our better benefits?
I tell you, that can go into a myriad. I think the number one is the pension. When I first hired in, they fought and struck for a $600 a month pension. That was the issue back then. 30 years of being able to retire at 30 years regardless of age, that was first instituted in 1970. Before you, it was the age cap, and they didn't get paid that much pension. So that was something that I've benefited by, and a lot of other workers have benefited by. Increased pensions, you got cost of living. I mean, you got legal aid services. That stands out to me as a very good benefit. You got a 401k program started. So there's a lot of good, healthy benefits that we got during the years that I certainly am grateful for.
You, we've talked before, and you said you had children that you have put through college. Mm-hmm. Has that benefit with the General Motors dependent scholarships been of use?
On one year, it benefited, mm-hmm. But the other years I could not get it because of the fact that I paid most of it. They had a certain limit of as far as tuition, how much they would pay. There's a cap on that, which I didn't know. But it has benefited me. I mean, I've enriched by it and profited by it. And just to have a good wage-paying job benefited, to be able to have a job that afforded me the opportunity to send her to college was a big help.
You also touched base a little bit on the union. Have you been to any union meetings, or have you ever been active in the union at all?
No, not really. I haven't been to very few union meetings. No, I've not been an active participant within union meetings, no.
Is there any thing else that you can think of that you want to tell us about, something that we haven't touched on that you wanted to share with us?
Like I said, I've enjoyed my 35 years that I've been here. I've been happy with General Motors. General Motors has been one of the best places that I have to work. I've enjoyed the friendships all through the years, and particularly back in the 70s when we used to have bowling leagues. I mean, foremen and supervisors would get together. We had bowling leagues, and we had pool leagues, and we had golf leagues during the 70s. And those were kind of the most enjoyable times that I had during the years. And, of course, when they reorganized, that kind of got lost in the shuffle. Company reorganized and structurally changed the dynamics of the process of how things work. I mean, there was years ago the foremen would set their jobs up. But then when they reorganized, industrial engineering did all that. So it kind of lost its cohesiveness between the employees, and I kind of felt disappointed by that, that we didn't have that close friendship with management employees anymore. But I'm just thankful and grateful for the benefits, for the opportunity to be able to work in one plant, and I had to go to 4 or 5 different plants to build, I think, one of the best quality jobs in the world that we built here over the years. We've won so many quality awards and banners and J.D. Powers Award. Those are the things that, in my memory, strike out as a very enjoyable experience.
Now, are you going to be continuing on to the Delta plant?
I'm going to go over there. I don't know how long I'm going to stay, but I want to be able to leave this plant and say that I did physically go to the new plant. So I'm looking forward and excited about that. I'll never forget this plant, though. Even though we're going to something new, to me, this is still has been one of the best plants in the world to work for. But I'm looking for the opportunity to go there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your interview. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You guys are good.
Jimmy, I had one other question that I wanted to ask you. Do you remember when women came into the body shop?
Yes, I can recall 1976, women first hired in the body shop. And to observe them, it was quite a, as I felt, they felt like I felt. The body shop was a very intimidating place. You had a lot of smoke, a lot of noise, a lot of spot welding guns. It was very physical and demanding work. And to see the looks on their face, they were like me. They were very scared. They were very apprehensive. But yet, they were energetic to rise to the challenge and do the work. Back then, you had a lot of utility, and you had a lot of other people there that would help you to perform the job. But it was quite an experience to see the women come into the body shop.
So what time frame was that when they started coming?
Back in 1976.
Okay. And prior to that, were women working in other parts of the plant?
There was no women working within the body shop at that time, and there was very few women. The women that worked, most of them worked in paint, in the paint department. And there were a couple women on the sanitation or environmental services, now called. But then the majority of women came in prior and years later. And that was in 1977, 78, they hired quite a few number of women that came out doing the plant work. So
what was the majority of the males, what were their feelings, do you think, when the women started to come in and to the workplace?
Well, just like it is now, you had some certain biases and prejudices that men felt women should not be in there doing men's job, because it was particularly a male-dominated profession at that time. A lot of men didn't like it. They didn't like the idea of women coming in doing men's work or taking a job from men. So they were pretty, some of them were pretty angry. There were some that didn't mind it. Didn't mind it. Felt, well, hey, they're doing the same work as we do. They can do it, so.
Has that changed in your time here, or do you still see a lot of the same prejudices?
To some degree, you still see some prejudice, but basically it's changed because there's some work that women can do better than men because of their dexterity, mm-hmm. their ability to handle hands. So there were certain jobs women did better than men, like your door wire jobs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's still some prejudice, but for the most part, they pretty much accepted it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're quite welcome.